Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake. My name is Reverend John Reynolds, and I'm one of the pastors here, and it's so great to see you here this wonderful holiday weekend. I pray that as we gather here for worship, that you have a chance this weekend, whether it's today or tomorrow or perhaps yesterday, that you've had a chance to spend some quality time with family, that you've been able to enjoy being together with people that you care about. And I hope that you were able to take a moment to pause and breathe and I hope you were able to watch some college football, you know, if that's your thing as well. It's nice on a Sunday morning when you're able to come in and everybody's happy, you know, whether you're on one side of the divide or the other, everyone is relieved. And if you're like me and you cheer for Albion College, you know, then you got other things to say. So this morning we're continuing our sermon series about the parables. This is the last week of that sermon series where we're exploring the teachings of Jesus, the stories that really define our faith, the stories that are in the Gospels that teach us what it means to be a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. And we're continuing that sermon series next week. If you can believe this, we're starting a brand new sermon series about conflict. But of course, none of you know anything about that. Amen? Like, you all live conflict-free lives. There's never any tension. You keep a low boiling point regardless of what's going on in the world around you. But we're going to be looking at the strategies of Scripture that help us make our way through conflict. So Pastor Lindsay will be starting that sermon series. We're a church here that's striving to help people know God and love God and serve God. And if this is your first Sunday with us, we're so glad that you decided to make this your spiritual home. And for folks who are worshiping with us online, we're glad that you decided to turn us on at your campsite or wherever you may be traveling. We're grateful to have you with us here as well. As we worship this morning, I hope that you were handed a connection card on your way in the door. And if you wouldn't mind just taking a moment to fill that out, there are wonderful ministries that are starting through the month of September, and we would love to know if you're interested in being a part of those ministries. You can fill those out, check the boxes on the back, and we can't wait to see what God does in our life throughout the course of this month. We encourage you to get involved as we move into this fall season. Finally, I want to let you know that there are yellow prayer cards in the pew back in front of you. We encourage you to take a moment if there's anything that we can be praying alongside you or for you about. We encourage you to fill those out, and we'd be honored to be praying alongside you as we begin this fall season. And with that, I want to encourage you to join us in our opening hymn as we worship together this morning. I pray the Holy Spirit would inspire you, would touch your heart as we continue to serve Jesus together in this space. Let us stand and sing unto the Lord.
Thank you. Good morning. Please join me in the opening prayer. Dear Lord, we come to you today in worship. Hear our praise, hear our prayers, hear the needs we don't yet know we have. Be with us in all that we do, reminding us to trust in your promises. In your name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Scripture this morning is from Luke 18, 1-8. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Thank you so much, Tom, for reading our scripture this morning. I invite you to join me now in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock, and our Redeemer, and the one who brings justice. Amen. Well, if you at first glance look at this story, it tells a pretty interesting picture, right? Jesus is talking to the disciples and he's trying to teach them about God's justice. And in the midst of that story, the story that Jesus tells is a funny one, sort of at some levels. He tells a story about a widow who's lost her husband in the ancient world. That would be a difficult and vulnerable place to be in, because if you lose your husband in the ancient world, women at that time were not able to hold property, they weren't able to hold assets, they weren't able to be protected from all of the threats of violence and concerns that would take place in the ancient world, so you'd be in a highly vulnerable place. And this woman keeps going to this unjust judge, he's labeled that way from the very beginning of the story, begging for justice, begging to get the inheritance perhaps, or the gift that that was rightfully hers, but unfortunately the unjust judge is completely unwilling to hear it for a while. And then finally, he acquiesces. He says, you know, I'm tired of this person coming to my door, pounding on it, yelling at me over and over and over and again. So finally, I'm just going to give in to her demands, and I'm going to give her what she wants so that she would stop talking to me. It's kind of a strange parable. And I have to admit, as I was preparing for the message this week, I was sort of wrestling with what exactly it was that Jesus was trying to help us understand when we get into situations where something feels incredibly unjust. And I don't know if you've ever been in a circumstance where you've seen something with your own eyes and you just sort of scream out, your soul leaps within you and you're like, this is a miscarriage of justice. This is not right. This is not okay. But I believe that those moments, sort of like other moments, are gifts from God through the Holy Spirit that we have in our lives. I remember there was a time that I was working in a previous church and somebody was in trouble, quite frankly. They had to go before a judge and there was jail time that was a potential outcome of this particular hearing. And his parents were super active in our church and they reached out and they said, Pastor John, we're trying to fill the courtroom with supporters of our son so that when the judge makes their decision, they are able to look out and see all of these people that love our kid. And perhaps that would influence or change the outcome of the court system. And so sure enough, you know, I was honored to be asked, and I'm happy to do jail visits, and I'm happy to be in courtrooms because I believe in the redemption and the gift of second chances that God promises in the scriptures. So I showed up in the courtroom, and I was there early because I didn't want to be late, and you never know with judge schedules when a particular case is going to be heard on the docket in that particular day. So I showed up early, and I was sitting in the courthouse, just listening. Now, I saw a couple moments ago, there were slides of the very image of justice that we hold on to, right? Sort of an individual weighing the scales and, you know, justice is supposedly blind. So there was a slide earlier in the presentation where there was a blindfold over the image of justice, right? Like that we're not partial to the things that are happening inside the courthouse, but we all know at the end of the day that injustices happen in the courthouses all the time. And I remember sitting inside the courthouse, listening to what was going on. And the judge came out of the chamber early that morning, and there were so many folks. I mean, there was just case after case after case. I think I saw like five or six of them going before the judge, and it was amazing, you know, to sit inside the room and just watch this drama unfold. But one person would go up with a court-appointed attorney, and there was no argument, no conversation, no, you know, nothing went back and forth whatsoever, and guilty, 5 years in jail. And then the next person, the same thing. And these were all minors, by the way. And I remember sitting, you know, there watching this drama unfold, and then this young man who is from our church came, and everything played out differently because this young man had an attorney that his family had hired, and they walked up to the, said, may I approach the bench? And sure enough, the judge said that was okay, and he went up, and they whispered something back and forth before the case ever started. And in this particular case, there was something different that happened. The individual that I knew very well at that particular time wasn't sentenced to any jail time. There was no mandatory sentence that was sort of given from the bench. Instead, this individual was released right out of the courtroom and was able to go home with his parents that night. And the crazy thing is a lot of the cases that had taken place right before that moment were exactly the same. But the only difference that I could see in that moment was that one had a court-appointed attorney and the other had hired an attorney to do some advocacy on their behalf. And so long before my friend's case ever even started, I remember just feeling deep inside my intestines this feeling like something is not right here. Maybe you felt that way before. Maybe you've seen something going on in our world. And maybe you don't understand all the details, but you just know it's wrong. A long time ago, I had a t-shirt that said, somewhere in the Pacific Ocean, there's a swirling vortex of human-made garbage that's nearly the size of Alaska. I remember having that t-shirt and having that same pit in my stomach that there's something deeply and profoundly wrong about this situation. There's something unjust that in the ocean there's this much garbage floating around that is adversely affecting all of the wildlife of the oceans. And in this particular story, what I love about this woman is she's just not going to take it anymore, right? Like, she's not going to be okay with the way things have always been. She's not going to be okay with the judge that's not willing to give her justice. She's demanding over and over and again, things have to change. And you can just hear this woman, right? Like, knocking on the judge's chambers going, when are you going to give me the justice that I so desperately want and deserve? And I believe that this woman has a very strong kind of faith, and Jesus is teaching us that at the end of the day, even when the powers and the realities of this world prevent us from getting what we deserve, keep going. Don't give up. Don't lose hope. A lot of us, I believe, have a what-if kind of faith. And we find ourselves asking God these questions when we're in our prayer life, like, God, what if this doesn't go according to plan? God, what if this thing that I'm experiencing, this pain, this discomfort that I have inside my body is cancer? God, what if my kids don't graduate from high school? God, what if things don't go well at this next family gathering? And we go to God with all of these what-if questions. And the widow, she could have gone to God with that same kind of question, like, God, what if I never get the justice that I so desperately deserve? And maybe she just gave up at that point. But I would argue that this woman had an even-if kind of faith. A simple change of question, right, in our prayer life, if we say, instead of what if things don't go according to plan, what if my kids are suffering, what if I experience some form of tragedy in my life, if you transition that question and begin with the phrase, even if tragedy strikes, even if I don't get justice, even if something terrible happens in the world around me, even if this judge never gives me the justice that I so desperately want or deserve, I'll still have faith. If you notice, that slight pivot creates all kinds of resiliency. Despite the tragedies and the issues that go on every day in our life, we can still hold fast to the faith that defines us and gives us the kind of fortitude that we need to face the challenges of each day. It's a small pivot, but I think it actually makes all the difference in the world because it's so easy, and I do this really well. Like, what if, what if, what if, what if, what if? And sure enough, like, it's 2 o'clock in the morning, and I have solved not a single problem in the world around me. But I'll tell you what, when I'm able to pivot, and I'll say something like, even if nobody shows up for worship on Labor Day weekend, I will still preach. Even if things are struggling in a relationship, I will still be faithful. Even if I have to pound on the judge's door for the rest of my life demanding justice, I will be faithful. And we don't have to look very hard to find injustices in our world today. I mean, if you just look at the images that have come out of Ukraine, you can see a completely unjust reality. If you walk a couple of blocks down the street and you see somebody holding up a sign saying homeless veteran, perhaps something deep within you, right, cries out for an injustice, a desire to serve and help and make life a little bit better. Maybe you're like me and you care a little bit about how the environment is doing and you drive down the streets and you see like garbage just lining the interstates. You just cry out for a desire to treat the earth with a level of respect that God commands all the way back in Genesis. You don't have to go far to see that even in our time, we struggle to give justice to widows and to single parents who are struggling day by day to try to raise family with all kinds of struggles and pressures. Maybe there's injustices around racial and ethnic lines. Maybe there are injustices that cry out to this day because we still struggle to treat everybody with a basic level of human dignity. But I'm here to tell you that if we sit here and worry like your pastor John does late into the evenings, many nights of the week, and go, what if, then I don't know that we ever get the justice that this widow gets in this story. Even if these things are happening, even if there are struggles in this world, even if we are struggling in our relationships, even if there's cancer, even if all of the powers of this world feel like they're against us, I will be faithful. There's a strength in that. And I find that people who are trusting in God to ultimately provide the justice in the end are an incredible force to be reckoned with. There's a couple of things that I hope that we bring out of this story, and the first of which that I think is really important is that God is just. At the end of the day, we can be confident that God's never going to do something to us that's chronically unfair. At the end of the day, not only is God just, but one of the things that I hold on to, even in the darkest day, is in the end, God's going to win. I mean, there could be lots of trials and tribulations and injustices and issues that go on between now and in the end, but at some point, when all is said and done, God is going to win and justice will have its final day. And I choose to believe that that is an incredibly hopeful image. At some point, we're no longer going to be able to rip people off. At some point, there's going to be no difference between people who are poor and people who are rich. That's my image of the kingdom of heaven, is that everybody has every need that they could possibly ever have supplied. There's no more hungry people. There's no more sick people. There's no more people who can't afford to pay their health care costs. God's going to win. And then I also feel like in this story, the other thing that Jesus wanted his disciples to know about is when everything feels like it's falling apart, when there's every reason to give up, keep going. Because at the end of the day, the judge just was like, I'm so tired of hearing this woman knock on my door. Just give her what she wants. And I'm here to tell you, it's so easy to give up. But whatever that experience is in the world around you that causes you a pit in your stomach that you just can't take anymore, and whatever those moments are, whatever those faces are that come to mind when we think about injustice, I don't care whether you're 15 years old or you're going on 90, it doesn't take much to find something in the world today that causes something deep within you to well up. And I hope you, like this widow, just keep knocking, because at the end of the day, Jesus asked this question at the end of this parable that I love. When the Son of Man returns, I tell you, will he find faith on this earth? And I think the way that Jesus will find faith on this earth is that if we pivot that question from what if to even if, that if we remain faithful, if we keep knocking, if we keep writing letters, if we keep crying out for justice for people who are less fortunate than us or the environment or whatever issue or cause you care about, then I believe when Jesus returns, he will find a whole room of people crying out for the justice that we're promised at the end of eternity. And so I encourage you, as you move through this Labor Day weekend, a weekend that we pause and we celebrate all of the advancements that give us weekends and 40-hour work weeks and the ability to go north in our RVs on weekends and all of the wonderful accomplishments that have come as the result of people knocking on people's doors saying, like, we can do better than this. We don't have to be cogs in the wheel. We don't have to be machines that work until the point that we die. This particular weekend, I hope that you would spend a moment and just pause and reflect on what is it that's still unjust in our world that I care so deeply about that I'm willing to go knock on some doors, or I'm willing to write some letters, or I'm willing to put some skin in the game, or I'm willing to put myself out there. Because I'm here to tell you, we haven't quite arrived yet. Someday we'll get to what heaven looks like. But I believe that in part, it's our responsibility to keep knocking on the doors of the judge. And someday it's going to change. And someday it will be better than it was. Because I believe we're going somewhere and the place that we're going is good. Thanks be to God for that widow's faithfulness and for her willingness to never give up, even if all of the odds are stacked against her. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Good morning. What struck me, thank you, John, so much for the message. What struck me about it when I first opened up the Bible and read it, it said the persistent widow. And the word that really struck me and stuck with me is persistent. And I'm the kind of person, I need an image. I need an image of that persistence. And the image for me is Charlie Brown. Charlie Brown running up to kick the football, having it swiped away from him, and continuing to do it. I envision Charlie Brown praying each time he does it, just praying, God, oh God, let me kick the football this time. And he runs up there, and it gets taken away from him. And the ultimate judge we know is God. And so persistent prayer, just pray consistently all the time. You know, we have such a wonderful prayer ministry here, and we have the prayer quilts. And if you would take time after the service to take sign the card, tie a knot, say a prayer for the two individuals here, Kathy Parkhill and Mary Richmond. And now, won't you please join me in an attitude of prayer with them. Merciful, loving God, we thank you so much for these two individuals and for those that have taken time to prepare these quilts so that as we pray that your comfort and your healing goes along with them. And Lord, also, we don't want to forget those prayer quilts in the past, those that have received them and may still be in need of prayers. Lord, please remember them also. And we ask that that you be with these two individuals as we sign the cards and tie the knots. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, won't you please join me in an attitude of prayer? Great God in heaven, you are Jehovah Rohi, the Lord our shepherd, and we will lack nothing. Lord, we shout for joy, worship with gladness, and come before you with joyful songs. We pray you strengthen us with your Spirit, so Christ dwells in our hearts through faith. You sent Jesus to be our Savior, and he sent his disciples to preach the gospel to all creation. They did many things in Jesus' name, so whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. We are justified through faith and have peace with you through our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, hear our grateful prayers and petitions as we give our anxieties, concerns, and requests to you. Thank you for hearing our prayers, for listening to our conversations, for accepting our praises. Daniel got on his knees and prayed 3 times a day, always giving thanks to you. Paul knelt before you, whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. Encourage us to join together constantly with prayers of confession, supplication, and thanksgiving. Let us rejoice always and pray continually, giving thanks at all times as your will for us in Christ. Help us pray in the Spirit on all occasions, and keep praying for all the Lord's people. Lord, through faith in Jesus, hear our prayers and petitions for others silently presented to you. From Jesus' parable of the persistent widow, we learn to always pray and not give up crying out. Increase our faith to see how persistent prayers help us understand our need for you. Let your Spirit help us in our weakness when we don't know what we ought to pray for. Open our minds to understand the Scriptures as we ponder Jesus' parable of the persistent widow. We have no righteousness of our own, but receive righteousness from you by faith in Jesus. Thank you for Paul teaching us to forget what is behind and press on toward what is ahead in Christ. Let us persist in asking until we receive, seeking until we find, and knocking until the door opens. Help us be persistent in prayer, persistent in love, persistent in service, and persistent in sharing the gospel. Help us remain steadfast in pursuing your truth through persistent study of your word in the Bible. As Christ's church, hear our voices in unison as we say the words Jesus taught us how to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Greg, for leading us in prayer this day. And what an incredible gift of being able to pray to God at any time we desire, in any place we desire, that is an open invitation from God to each and every one of us. And so we come to a time in our service when we get to gather around this heavenly banquet table, a chance for us to remember that 2,000 years ago, Jesus gathered with his disciples for a sacred Last Supper, a chance to remember all of the parables that Jesus taught over his time with the disciples, an opportunity for them to remember all of the miracles that he did. And they gathered around a table, and Jesus gave thanks for the bread that had been shared, and he broke it, and he said, "This is my body. Take it and eat it as often as you can in remembrance of me." When supper was over, he took a cup, And he gave thanks for it. And he said, "This is my blood, which has been poured out for you. Take it and drink it as often as you can in remembrance of me." And so we come to this table praying that God would transform these ordinary things of bread and cup into something extraordinary. Come, Holy Spirit, and transform them. And perhaps more importantly, transform us into the image and the likeness of your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to be his hands and his feet in the world today. Help us to be the body of Christ, united in love for the whole world. Help us to have the faith of this widow crying out for justice. Help us to have eyes to see the world as it is, and not merely as we hope it to be. Help us to have hearts that can be broken for people who are less fortunate than us. Help us to see your work in this world and allow us to do the work of changing it into the image and the likeness of heaven, so that we might be ambassadors here on earth of a place not yet realized but hoped for here on earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're grateful that 2,000 years ago, Jesus presided over a table and welcomed to the feast even Judas and Peter, whom he said would betray him and deny him. And I always take great comfort in knowing that in that night, when Jesus served communion to all of the disciples, and I believe that there were women who were a part of Jesus's ministry, who were a part of that Last Supper as well, that everybody is welcome to feast at this heavenly banquet. It's not Pastor John's table. It's not a United Methodist table. It's God's table, and that means everybody is welcome at this holy feast. And so in a moment, the ushers will come forward, and they'll invite you to come to the communion table by the side aisles, and we'll invite you to return by the center aisle. We have gluten-free elements that'll be available here in the middle if that's something that you need as well. All has been made ready. Would you please come and feast at God's heavenly banquet? Would the ushers please come forward and help us as we serve communion this day? And so we receive these elements remembering Jesus' offering for us. This is the body of Christ broken for us. Let us take and receive. And this is God's love poured out for us. Let us take and remember Christ's offering for us. Will you join me now in a time of prayer? Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, for these ordinary gifts of bread and cup, we give you thanks for the opportunity to remember the ways in which your life was offered for all of us. In an unjust way, you were put to death so that we might have eternal life. And so we gather here crying out for justice, praying for peace, praying for the transformation of our whole world so that we might someday live here on earth as if it were heaven. We cry out for this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to share with you some good news as we proceed into this time of offering. Just this last week on Wednesday, a couple of folks from the church and myself had an opportunity to go down to Cass Community Social Services in Detroit. And in sort of true fashion, we were able to carry a check with us down to the city of Detroit that just shared some really incredible news about the generosity and faithfulness of our church. The church donated over $49,000 to Cass Community Social Services in Detroit to build a tiny home in the city of Detroit. And Faith Fowler, the executive director down there, and Sue Patu, who actually came out of this church and now serves down at Cass Community Social Services in Detroit, were jumping for joy for a moment as they celebrated the vision of being able to have somebody in a home. And I know we've shared that news before, that our church sort of, actually it was an unplanned project to be be quite honest with you. At the beginning of the year, Bill Drabing, our mission council chair, and I were in a mission council meeting, and we were like, what ought we to do this year? And we thought, well, let's raise some money for Samaritan Counseling Center. We had a vote, and it was like 6 people were for that, and 5 people voted to build a home, a tiny home in the city of Detroit. And just this last week, we actually crossed our goal of raising $10,000 for the Samaritan Counseling Center as well. So it's funny, we were like, okay, we'll do Samaritan Counseling Center this year, and we did both. In fact, not only that, we met and exceeded both of our goals, and I think that tells you something about the generosity and the faithfulness of giving of this church. And so it was neat to be able to present that check to Faith and Sue. There's a great picture of that on Facebook. Mike and Laura Kelly were down there to present the check to Faith and Sue, and it's just kind of fun, you know? It's not every day you get to give somebody $50,000, you know? But when you think about what those dollars are going to mean, and you think about what it means to go from sleeping under a bridge or struggling to pay and afford rent to being able to own a home, you know what those $50,000 mean. So thank you so much for your generosity and faithfulness, and amen. Yeah. And so when you give to our church, it's those kind of things that we want to do. You know, we want to find the widows who are knocking on the door of the unjust judge, and we want to help them. So will the ushers please come forward and help us as we share in this morning's offering.
Lord of all, we bring our offerings here in this community so that you may use them to build your kingdom of love and peace here on earth. Guide us and enrich us to serve you with a whole heart. Amen.
Thank you.
so much, Susan, for leading us in song this week. I just want to share with you a couple of announcements as we close our worship time together. We look forward to next week. We'll be kicking off a lot of our fall programming. There will be a bounce house next week. Third grade Bibles will be passed out. Kindergarten Bibles will be passed out. We encourage you to be here. If you have a grandchild that you'd like to receive a third grade Bible, if you have a child you'd like to receive a third grade Bible, let us know. We will be honored to present them a Bible next week. In addition to that, on September 20th, there's a Church and Society event that will focus on economic injustices and issues that we see right here in our own backyard, in our community, right here in the sanctuary on September 20th. We encourage you to come to learn more about some of the injustices that are really plaguing and holding us all back from living fully into the kingdom of God that God calls us to be. And in addition to that, it's an exciting time here at the church. The youth and children's ministry is really kicking off and ramping up. We've got a new approach to doing youth group on Wednesday nights. So if you have any more questions about that or you're interested in getting involved, please talk to Pastor Allison about that. She would love to have you volunteer, and we would love to have youth and children engaged in Sunday school on Sunday mornings and then youth group on Wednesday nights. Our scrap metal drive is taking place this week. If you have any stuff, metal, that you'd like to donate, please bring it to the church this weekend, September 10th, from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. It would be great to have as much of your junk as possible. We would love to recycle it and send it down to Redbird. In addition to that, I wanted to share, at the end of this month, there's going to be a men's ASP trip that'll take place. I think it's the 28th, 29th, and 30th. If you're interested in that, you can see me after the service. We would love to have you a part of our men's mission trip, and Redbird is taking off the week after that. So begin praying for our mission team this year. We're taking 19 people down to Redbird, which is really great. It's one of the largest groups that we have had in a long time. So we'll be doing some wonderful work by combining our forces with another church and some other individuals to do some wonderful work down in the Appalachian Mountains. So good things are happening. I'm grateful for the movement of the Holy Spirit here in this church, all the wonderful ministries. And I heard some of you sing this morning. And if you feel called to join the choir, I encourage you to talk with Susan after the service as well. We would love to have you a part of the music ministries of our church. And finally, next week will be the first Sunday for our new associate pastor, Reverend Lynn Hazley. She will be joining us in worship. Her first day is this Tuesday, and we're so excited about the ministry that she will do here amongst us. When you get to meet Lynn, you'll be glad that she's joining our team. She's bubbly, she's eccentric, she loves connecting with people, and I can't wait to introduce you to her next weekend. So as we conclude this week of worship, I pray that you would have a moment tomorrow as you spend family and friends, that you would just have a moment to relax, to enjoy your time, and that you would celebrate with the people that you care about the most. As you depart from this place, I pray you would go with the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us go loving and serving the Lord. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.